Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Kat Knapsack, and I almost said from the center of the valley.
That was a beautifully Shatner-esque introduction to our Star Wars podcast. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
We're all in different parts of L.A. Only me, only I am sitting in the valley, not quite the center. I don't know why that popped in my head. Everyone, we are here to talk about Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago, and we have some official Star Wars news to discuss. Oh, we always love when we get to catch it before we record. We'll be diving into the Acolyte casting news and the plot synopsis. A lot of great stuff there. We'll be talking Kino Loy and your Snoke theories where they don't belong. Coming up here shortly. Before we get to all that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And a little bit later, we'll have our 4Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Before we do that, we'll catch up here. Traveling is the name of my game. So before we get to my story, pitch it to you, Jen. What was your Star Wars adventures this last week?
My Star Wars adventure this past week was going to Build-A-Bear. I finally made it.
Yes.
I did it. And let me tell you, I felt a little weird. I was walking in with Grogu. around my you know, my crossbody. He was in the satchel, and I marched right into Build-A-Bear early morning for only person there, thank goodness, because that would have been even weirder. And I felt like a kid again. I was just so excited to find Grogu an outfit. I had to restrain myself because there were so many to choose from. And I ended up finding the most perfect Grogu and Mando little pajamas and some bunny slippers.
Wow.
It looks so ridiculous. And then I got him a cute little headband because I know my girls would like that. So I can't wait to have a little Christmas setup. I'm going to put it up so he's ready for the holidays. And I'll share it hopefully next week or something.
See, this is great. This is
partially an effort to get your girls to engage more fully with this Grogu, right? To see that he has a body.
You know what? At this point, I kind of felt like it was more for me. But yes, that was when I started to get a little bit embarrassed. I'm like, this is for my kids. I'm doing this for my kids. But am I? I don't know. I almost bought the little aerial fin and tail for him. There was even a really cute Moana dress. I was tempted.
I think it's great to have a sense of play even when you're an adult. That's a happy picture of you marching in there at the crack of dawn. Are you open yet? Great. Let's go.
Look, I'm not one to openly campaign for sponsors, but can Build-A-Bear find Jennifer Land on TikTok? Can we do this?
Oh my gosh. I've heard that people have been carrying Grogu around in like these rocket backpacks and stuff like that. And now I totally understand. It's fun. It's like this little friend. And it does kind of feel in some ways like you are, you know, Mando going around town. So I can't wait. I'm going to set that up maybe tomorrow.
This is great.
This is just like a branding thing. I assumed that Build-A-Bear, you could only Build-A-Bear. I didn't know it was Build-A-Bear, clothe a Grogu. I didn't know you could do both. That's awesome.
Yes. This little Kermit the Frog body. I had to, as a salesperson, I was like, can you help me take off his clothes? It was like right above him was this like picture of a baby. And it just was so fitting. There I am changing him into his little outfits.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yes, that was my weekend.
The Build-A-Bear empire expands to more creatures. I love that. Love that. Joseph, I guess you didn't go to Build-A-Bear this weekend.
Sadly, I did not. I would like to now. I got to go check that out. I had some good Star Wars adventures. I made a little bit of Star Wars time. I was rereading the, rereading. We listened to the audio and reviewed the audio of Dooku Jedi Lost, but we have had the book of it, of the script for a long time. So I finally read that, and that was really great. I think I retain things a little bit better when I can just see them in print. So a lot of fun details popped out and a lot of great emotional canon that just tracks absolutely wonderfully with Tales of the Jedi. So it was nice to continue my my Dooku fever, my Christopher Lee fever, and spend some more quality time with Dooku. I finally started rewatching Rebels. It's just like my hey, I got to watch something short while I'm eating breakfast. I've watched the first four episodes and really enjoying both the big ideas and the fact that it does start out with some big broad comedy as well as some deep heartfelt ideas, and just the time capsule of watching. I feel like I'm watching 2014. It's really fun to see it again in a new light. So there's some of my Star Wars adventures, lots of different fun life adventures, but I specifically wanted to follow up on all of the promoting I've been doing on Force Center of the short film Peace Fight, which I made that I'm in and Ken's in and our friend Mark Ellis is in. I had specifically made a big ask of listeners, followers, friends here on Force Center to support the video. I had a goal of hitting 1,000 views in the first week, and it was real close to that. It was like the next day it hit 1,000. So it's good enough for me. And it's it continues to tick up each day. And I just wanted to take a moment to really specifically thank Force Center listeners. I think that, you know, we're aware that you're all here to hear the three of us discuss Star Wars. But we also do all have these other things going on. And obviously nobody needs to support Force Center, but they specifically don't need to go support our other things. But I was just really thinking about how kind it was that a lot of people very vocally said, hey, yep, I'm coming over here from Force Center, and really engaged with the short film. And it just got me thinking about the fact that, you know, the three of us all love Star Wars, but we all have different creative pursuits, and we always have, you know, from stand up to acting to great dance videos in public spaces. That's when that one's on Jennifer. All sorts of different creative pursuits, and I think we're always going to, as well as doing Four Center, and I think that's part of kind of what makes Four Center what it is, the fact that we have these other pursuits. So it was I really appreciated the support from Four Center listeners, and I really appreciated that it made me just sort of stop and think about kind of who the three of us are and what we do and why. So thanks to everyone who supported that, and thanks to you both, Ken and Jennifer, for being so supportive of the short film. Very supportive of you to directly be in it, Ken. and just for everything. So, yeah, that was my thought.
Great.
No, great stuff. Yeah, and I'm with you on that idea of, like, you know, Force Center listeners, you know, you're here to hear us talk Star Wars, and that's all I need out of the deal, right? Come hang out, talk Star Wars. But yeah, there's so many other things we love doing, and I love, there's something special when like I'm doing my music show on Saturday nights live when I can, and someone pops up and they're like, hey, it's so-and-so from Force Center. I don't know. Aww. It just feels a little extra like, oh, okay. You don't just need me to talk about Greedo. Talk about the gin blossoms too. Like, I know what you mean.
The Greedo gin blossoms overlap is great. Yeah. So thanks everybody.
Awesome. Awesome. My adventures were many. I had a lot of fun. Traveled to my hometown, Arroyo Grande, California, to attend and be part of something called the Central Coast Entertainment Expo, put on by the Central Coast Film Society. It's a group I've been working with for a couple of years. Chris, Daniel, and Sarah, kind of the leaders of it. And Sarah was like a Schmodown fan, and we had met a couple years ago at a live event. She says, hey, I'm from your hometown. I've got this group. Would you like to come do some stuff with us? And so I've been working with them on and off for the year, but this was their first big expo, and that's daunting. And that's so daunting to put together. And they were at this Clark Center, Performing Arts Center, which is actually on my high school campus now. It wasn't there when I graduated. They were just getting the votes in the city to see if they wanted to do it. And it's impressive. It's a giant theater with great sound, a side theater where now the high school drama department is, which is great, side rooms. And they put on this entire con, this expo, this convention, and you had members of the 501st there. You had costume lighting displays. I was on a panel on building fandoms, and I was out in the lobby, you know, hawking copies of my book like a used car salesman. And it was a lot of fun. It was such a well-organized event. And really shout out to Sarah, Daniel, and Chris for putting that on. And they're like, you're like part of the family when you're working with them. So it was real impressive. Met a ton of Star Wars fans. And I made a point to tell myself, I'm just going to listen to what everyone says first. And not that I, you know, I'm not a boy. Let me tell you my opinion. But a lot of times I get asked, and I'll admit, the last year or so, I've found myself pre-defensive, whether I need to be or not. Someone says, do you like Andor? I go, yes, but here's 15 reasons I like Book of Boba Fett too. Right. And that might not even be the conversation. But we had a lot of conversations about Star Wars. And I'll tell you, it was being around film folks, they have some strong opinions. I'll just say that about what works, what they like. And it was great to just hear the opinions. And the consensus is this, they love Andor. And man, I'm there for that. I'm there for that conversation. And it was a lot of fun to hang out. So if you said hi to me, or you're listening to me now after you heard me blabbering up there, welcome. This is Force Center. As I warned in the panel, we go in deep here, but we also have a lot of fun. So thank you to all that I met, and I'll be back next year, and we'll let you all know all about it.
Yeah, that's great to hear about your Jedi journey of trying to take a deep breath. I'm picturing some real Mace Windu vibes of like, all right, I need to listen before. We were talking off air, and I had been thinking about it because I, you know, some of my travels I've been exposed to. Like, I'm having a great conversation with a person I really like, and then Star Wars comes up, and it's just, you know. And I think for people who maybe aren't in the kind of Star Wars bubble that we talk about sometimes, the kind of people who would podcast or listen to this podcast, that it's not, I think they don't realize like that it's, that it wears us down, right? Because sort of live in Star Wars. And I think for a lot of people, it's like, hey, Star Wars comes up and it's like weather or traffic. If you have a real great one, you talk about it, but generally you just kind of kvetch about the parts you don't like, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a more casual thing for some people. And I think they don't realize how much is like, oh boy, I really don't want to hear about why Book of Boba Fett shouldn't have had those two Mandalorian episodes. I've thought about it. I've wrestled with it. I've acknowledged it. I really don't need to hear about it seven more times today. But that's me. That's my perspective.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There was, you just have to let it slide. And sometimes we talk about being outside of the Force Center bubble, even the Star Wars bubble, and you find folks who are just like, oh my God, Star Wars, great. I love it across the board. And that's wonderful too. And hey, we're not asking for that. We don't love everything across the board. That's not the way we approach, but it's I find that when we engage with the content like we do here, I do think we get a ton out of it. And I want people to share in that joy. But that's not everyone's journey. And so, but there was one moment of like, so let me ask you, do you like all the new stuff? Oh, I do. And when even that last one, the real cheesy one, I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Which one? And they couldn't even answer what it was. I gathered it was Kenobi.
Okay.
What?
But I couldn't figure that out because that's to the level that they engage with it. And that is great. And I just had to let it go. And it was a lesson in letting things go. I'm not here to win arguments. I'm here to just say, hey, Star Wars is great. So it was fun. It was fun. I wish I was at Build-A-Bear building a grove.
Yeah, boy, I'd love to. I welcome those types of debates because normally when I tell people I'm into Star Wars, they're like, oh, wow, yes, kid stuff. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Do you watch sports? Because this is my sports. All right.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah, and it's not to keep, this is a podcast itself, but sometimes when I say pre-defensive, it's not only I'm defending the things I love, but I also just like, you know, hey, you know, Boba Fett, they took away his mystery. Mm. Okay, but have you thought this? And I want to just dump that into their hearts, my feelings of it into the hearts, and I just know that I can't. There's no point in that. Yeah, right. No point for them, no point for me.
And always just depends on like the vibe in the space, right? Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes it's just kind of a drive-by thing in the middle of a conversation. But, you know, if you have the room and the time to go like, oh, cool, I see it this way and have it be a friendly conversation. Those are the times where it's a real win, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be clear, everyone was very nice, very nice. Love my hometown area. A lot of film happening up there, a lot of creativity going on. So it was fun to discuss. But yes, those drive-by hits are the ones where you... But anyway, oh good, we're gonna get into some news. This is fun. It's we've been in this period of where it's sometimes slow news weeks and something pops up. Sometimes I can't even find the stories a couple days later. It's been an interesting journey putting together the news in the last few months, but Disney took care of it today. Disney Lucasfilm, we got a press email and it's now out in the world. Everyone's seen it. Of the official cast and plot details for The Acolyte. They have emerged. It's official. This is exciting. With casting rumors swirling and the production underway, Lucasfilm and Disney said, this is my opinion, nuts to this. Let's make it official and announce the cast. Joining the only officially confirmed cast member, and this was in the email, like they said, joining Amanda Stenberg, which from their point meant this is the only official news, but the other stuff had just been accepted as fact, which... In the end, the scoops and all that stuff is accurate, but this is why we wait. Joining Amanda Stenberg are Lee Jang, Jung Jae, Manny Jacinto, Daphne Keene, which was heavily rumored last week, Jodie Turner-Smith, Charlie Bennett, Dean Charles Chapman, not as I wrote it, dead. Man, iPhones are great.
Like, wow, Ken really doesn't like this actor.
Well, dead, you know what? But he is Thomas. He's Tom King Tommen Baratheon. Yeah. So, I do feel as though he is passed. And a big one that a lot of people are excited about at the end here, Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah.
Which, we all know her from The Matrix. The show was then described as a mystery thriller that will take viewers into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era. A former Padawan reunites with her Jedi master to investigate a series of crimes, but the forces they confront are more sinister than they ever anticipated. That is juicy. The series will be directed by the show's creator, Leslie Headland. That makes it seem like she's got the helm on all the episodes until we know further, but that's what I took from it. We'll discuss that. Rainn Roberts, she's still story group. I don't know. She's always been kind of the story group's secret weapon. Very beloved in those halls up there. Rainn Roberts and Damian Anderson are also on as producers. So let's dive into it. First, casting news, favorite reveals from this cast, surprises. Jennifer, what do you think?
Oh, looking at this lineup, I was so happy to see all those faces, so much beautiful diversity, first and foremost. And then I just love so many of these actors. I was surprised by Carrie Ann Moss, thrilled because I think she's going to be maybe in like a mentor type role, I hope. Charlie Burnett was really great in Russian Doll. So I love that he's now joining here. And it's kind of funny because I wasn't quite sure what had been considered official and what was not.
Yeah.
So I was also surprised to learn that they are filming. And they included that behind the scenes photo of Leslie and Amandla and Lee Jung Jae on set, but they're not in costume. They're in plain clothes, which means, and they kind of like had their script. So it looked like they're in the middle of like rehearsal, which automatically piqued my interest. Well, how much rehearsing are they doing? Are they coordinating stunts? Are they coordinating blocking? Like, what exactly are they doing? Because it looked kind of intense, right? Like their faces. Mm-hmm. All of it. Yeah. Love it, love it, love it. And I'm glad that StarWars.com finally confirmed it.
We'll definitely discuss that in a second. Joseph, a lot of wonderful names. And yeah, you know, some we had heard, and I get it that the scoops were from legit trade sources. So that makes sense, but it's official, Joseph. What jumps out to you?
Yeah, no, I'm going to repeat myself just a little bit from when some of these rumors drop, because I'm so excited that it's true. I agree that I'm thrilled to see the just actual diversity of background and perspective and all that. But I also just really like that this is a diversity of genre. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think it has been so successful in The Mandalorian to have Favreau had really approached that, and he's spoken about it, of like, well, let's pull people who are kind of great actors but are maybe well known for one or two roles or being in a specific genre, right? And and that'll make people interested in checking out. I can't believe Werner Herzog is in this, you know? I can't believe Paul Creed is in this, you know? Kind of thing, bringing them into the galaxy. And I think there's an air of that that's really interesting, as well as just the actors being phenomenal. I mean, I think Lee Jung Jae being like just this absolute long-term star in parts of the world, but breaking onto the international scene in such a big way is really interesting and cool. I love Manny Jacinto from The Good Place, just absolutely hilarious. And in Squid Game, with Lee Jung Jae, it is brutally dark, but there is dark comedy in it, of this sort of the comedy of a person in trouble, the comedy of somebody who'd normally just be kind of like, hey, your bumbling buddy who's always down on his luck, always has a new idea, kind of a almost comedic figure, put into the most deadly and awful situation possible. So there's this darkness and this comedy going on. And given that Russian Doll has that perspective of extremely heavy philosophically and high stakes, but still wry comedy.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the number of these people who have demonstrated comedic chops. So really excited about that. Very excited about Carrie Ann Moss. She's just, you know, venerable genre star at this point, you know, between The Matrix and her role in the MCU, is across what used to be the Netflix shows. So she might be popping up more. So that's great. Daphne Keen, obviously amazing. The other person that really jumps out at me is Rebecca Henderson, who's been in lots of different things, but also in Russian Doll, and also Leslie Headland's wife.
I don't know why she was not on. Yes, you're right. Thank you for pulling that name in.
Yeah,
and list that.
I think the thing, Rebecca Henderson is a great performer, and I could be excited right there, full stop. But she is Leslie Headland's wife, and across Rebecca Henderson's career, she's played lots of open, out loud and proud gay characters, lesbian characters. Right. So I just think that made me kind of excited for the possibility, just a possibility, no predictions, that maybe the Acolyte could be an on-screen Star Wars where we get a very vocal, very clear, very demonstrative gay lesbian relationship on screen. The kind of representation we've talked about being in the books and comics a lot. It's in publishing a lot and it hasn't quite made it to the screen. Vel and Cinta are in a relationship, but I think that there is a very light touch to that. Some of that could be just the storytelling of what's going on in their relationship, that Vel's clearly wants to, you know, be all over Cinta. She's deeply in love with Cinta, and Cinta's kind of holding her at arm's length. So maybe that's just the storytelling.
Yeah.
But the practical reality is we do have a lesbian relationship on screen, but it's a very light touch to it. And so that was some of where my thoughts went with Rebecca Henderson and the possibilities of Acolyte.
No, it's great. And this is one of those things where some of the early interviews with Leslie Headland, I felt, she talked about sending the elevator back down to bring people up, right? And to see that this is truly happening in a lot of different ways. I think you're right to point out that diversity word gets thrown around a lot, but this, it's so many. It's not just the faces. It's the backgrounds. It's mm-hmm. the perspectives. It's all the ideas. And I think that's very clear. It has been clear from Leslie's early words to now this official casting announcement. Yeah. We love that. Even like age too, right? We're always about that too. Don't forget the old folks. Right.
Yeah, no, there are definitely, definitely a lot of young faces, but some older ones. Ken, are you most excited about the longest serving Billy Elliot, which is a thing I didn't know about Dean Charles Chapman until I looked it up this morning?
I'm excited about Dean Charles Chapman. I didn't know that either. I'm going to have to, I just like that he played two Lannisters in the same show, which is, that's quite an accomplishment. No, I'm excited. Well, yeah, here, and we'll talk about the era in a second, but I saw his name and I went, oh, he'll make a great Imperial. And I went, oh, wait, we don't have that anymore.
Right.
No, wonderful list. And Daphne Keene was going to be one of the main stories we might've been talking about because the rumors were kind of coming out about her casting. Reps probably getting that information out, all that good stuff. And I this is time moves so fast. I understand how time works. I understand how people grow up. I understand they work on other projects. I haven't seen her since Logan. And I was like, oh, she's 11. Oh, wait, no, that's right. Age happens. Age happens. I'm getting older. Pop culture moves so fast. Logan seems like yesterday and it's not. And she was spectacular on that as X-23. Mm-hmm. So key to that movie. It's not just about Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. She's right there with them. And to see her in Star Wars, my prediction, mind started to take over of like, oh, could she be a dark side user? She's kind of got that intense stare going on in Logan, none of that, we'll see. We'll see. But just excited. It's exciting, exciting cast there.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
What do we think about this plot, including the confirmation that is officially in the High Republic era? And I say that again, this has been around. This might have been discussed celebration, but this is announcing to the world that, yes, this is in the final days, I believe, to save the High Republic era. That I will start out by saying, I don't think that was how this show was pitched years ago. Even though the High Republic era was undeveloped, I just think the time period lines up and it's not of like, well, I guess we have to put it here. It's like, oh, look at this. We can put it here and make sense. And I'll start there and also say like, but I also worry about High Republic fans, of which we are, but there's some who might, I don't know if the story of Avar Chris ends here, mm-hmm. Like that's my only worry about that. But Joseph, I'll start with you. What do you think about the end of the High Republic era here?
Oh, I think it is absolutely great. I like seeing it in this official release. They have said it before, but this is a very, official release. It's got this sentence about the actual plot, the story that we have, which is brand new to us, that we'll get to. But I really agree with you. I think my only reservation is I do think that us High Republic fans have to be slow and cautious about it. I think it's the era. It is not a continuation of the publishing initiative. I think the publishing initiative is going to finish its story. We're in phase two now. There's going to be phase three. I think phase three is going to probably have a definitive end for some of the characters, major characters that we've been following. And my prediction for phase three is that it's going to sort of end the Jedi in a certain place and a certain attitude. What kind of reactionary phase are they in after beating the Nile? Is this that they're a little bit more fearful? Is this that they are a little bit more cocky, honestly, of like, look, we stopped the worst threat in a couple hundred years. We got this. Is this where some of I think that is what we're dealing with. What is the philosophy of the Jedi, given that this is the waning era of the High Republic where some darkness is rising and they're not paying attention to it? That was alluded to in Dooku's Tales of the Jedi episodes. It's baked into the Dooku Jedi Lost book, which is also sort of ambiguously tail end parts of it, High Republic, that the dark side is rising and parts of the Jedi just don't believe it, don't take it seriously. So I think we're really in the era. I do think, especially with the way in Kenobi and in Andor in particular, where Pablo Hidalgo is just straight up, listed as the Lord Visor. And they're clearly like fill in the blank beats of like, we need a planet, we need a name, we need a this. And something that makes it feel a part of the era is clearly advised. So I do think we could get like maybe a background, an old background Jedi is Reeve Sylas. That would be amazing.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Maybe a mention of Keeve Trennis in particular, since I was reminded by the Dooku book that it's established in the Dooku book that she leaves the Order eventually. Sorry if that's a spoiler, but it's out there.
Yeah.
So I do think there's a possibility of mentions that makes it really rich to be in the era, but it's that. It's in the era. It's mentions. That's my guess.
Yeah, I'm with you on this idea of, you know, we have an opportunity to put some of the stuff in there. And Leslie Headland has said in several interviews here, she's an EU fan. She's a Star Wars fan overall, loves all Star Wars, loves to interact with it. So I'm sure at some point along, not that any, I would imagine a showrunner has time to read all the books, but maybe, and that there could be some kind of, oh, I'm working on this. I have in this era, I'm approaching the themes of the Jedi Order and the Jedi at this time. And this is coming, this tidal wave coming up behind my story with all this wonderful information and characters and thoughts and themes. Yeah, why wouldn't you want to look at that and connect with it, and that that's exciting. It's exciting. I get, but then there again, I am getting pre-defensive. But I don't want this show to drop and people are like, well, Niall or Markian, it might not be that. It might not be that, because I think it was a little bit of kismet in the development of these two eras and projects coming together. We'll get to the plot, but Jen, do you have any thoughts on the High Republic side of it too? I know you're not as caught up in the books as us, but. Any
at
thoughts?
At all.
We're behind right now. So.
And we are two or three behind already?
Oh my gosh. There's a lot. There's a lot. Yeah. And I think if you're going to be reviewing the show, you know, I'm going to have to read. I'm going to have to catch up. Now, if you don't know anything about the High Republic, I think it's going to be fine jumping into this show. I don't think that they're going to rely on it. I think that they're probably going to do some mentions, you know, just maybe some offhanded comments. Things like that, so that it does, you don't have to read all those books and get caught up to be able to enjoy this. I do remember that Leslie Headland had said that she was a fan of the Knights of the Old Republic, the game. Like, she was a really big gamer. And so that's kind of where initially I thought this was going to be headed. So now that they're officially tying it to High Republic, I think it's a smart move, since they have this huge, I don't know what you would call it, like separate, it's almost like a separate franchise in some sense of all this content. So I think it's smart because it will make people who are fans of the High Republic, you know, intrigued by this show, and maybe, you know, have new people want to dive in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a great way to look at it too. Expanding the interest in the overall era. I love that, because then from there you'll discover Reeve Sylas, and he's a great Jedi or Elzar man. Regarding the plot itself, I think there's a lot of the elements in this release here that we were familiar with and heard, but again, nice to have it all put together. Mystery thriller. We're currently enjoying a spy thriller in Star Wars. Now we have a mystery thriller, shadowy secrets, emerging dark side powers. I think we kind of heard that phrase before too. I love hearing that. But the big one is a former Padawan reunites with her Jedi master to investigate a series of crimes. But the forces of Corona are more sinister than they ever anticipated. Joseph, that is some juicy stuff.
That is a big reveal. Got some fist pumping from me quietly while reading my phone so as to not wake my wife. That's thrilling. That's great. We have always heard that this is a mystery thriller, that it's going to deal with the dark side. Maybe there have been some rumors out there, but it is new to me that a Jedi is going to be featured as, you know, a major character, or at least an introductory character, right?
Same for me. Yeah.
Yeah, the way that sentence is structured, that it's, you know, maybe from the perspective of the former Padawan, and the fact that it's a former Padawan creates all this really, really great tension of a Padawan who chose to leave the Order, or got drummed out of the Order before they made it to Jedi Knight, and is now reuniting with their Jedi Master, who is maybe upset with her.
Yeah,
her former Padawan, or maybe feels guilt for failing her former Padawan, or maybe agrees with her former Padawan for leaving. And you know, the Jedi Master is beating themselves up for maybe not leaving too. It's just clearly lots of great interpersonal conflict implicit in that one sentence. But it also does speak to, even if that's just the starting point and the Jedi Master's dead by the first episode, right? Mm-hmm. It starts it in from a perspective that is going to invite you to play with ideas of where are the Jedi at? Mm-hmm. How are the Jedi handling things? You know, what does it mean to be a Jedi? Well, also dealing obviously with all of this, you know, great dark side stuff that's brewing. So I'm really excited about the Jedi perspective of it. And also just, and then I will wrap up, just using that word investigate along with mystery thriller. Like, okay, what does that mean? Using the word investigate, right? That speaks to Jedi noir. There's a series of crimes, right? That speaks to like the structure and the flavor. And I'm really interested in seeing exactly how much this is like a detective mystery with lightsabers.
Well, and it just immediately means we need to start our Dexter Jetster for the Acolyte campaign. Maybe it's season two, but if you're going to investigate things around this world in a noir fashion, you got to need Dexter. I love what you're saying there. And the thought of the Force Center, speculate responsibly motto comes into play here for me when I, that former Padawan, right? They could just be the way they phrased it, but that did not, it wasn't Jedi who was a former Padawan of. Right. Mm-hmm. It just has that air of, yeah, someone ain't around and someone left for some reason. And that lines with some of the things I think Leslie Headland has said in interviews about what she would love to explore during this time of the Jedi going into the Phantom Menace. And I think it's important stuff because we are in this era of looking at the Jedi Order a little more closely and the Justice for the Jedi campaign, mm-hmm. Joseph, that you're behind with us here at Force Center. Man, like, I want to see it explored a little bit more and how the order is beginning to crack, but not necessarily individual Jedis. And what you're saying right now, I got to speculate responsibly. A former Padawan, like, yeah, I left. Here's why I left, or here's why I didn't continue, or I don't know if this person's part of the Lost 20 or not. I don't know. I'm not even worried about those canon details. But a conversation around why, and maybe you should too, or like you said, guilt. There's a lot to dive into on top of a mystery thriller that might lead to emerging dark side powers. Maybe some folks in black robes with red sabers. I don't know.
I don't think the Lost 20 includes Padawans. I think this is more like you graduate from high school.
I got my GED or I didn't get enough credits. Yeah, it could be that conversation indeed. Jen, a lot on the table there. Thoughts on this? And I do think Joseph's right there. I don't recall anything directly saying Jedi. In this fashion, we're going to be involved. We knew this is the era, but now we got a Jedi at the center here. Jen, any thoughts on the plot?
Yeah, that was very surprising to get that confirmation. Former Padawan, obviously, I just start thinking of casting. Okay, so that's Amandla. Who is her former Jedi master? Is it Lee Jung-jae? Is it Carrie Ann Moss? I'm assuming it's Lee Jung-jae, just because the photo that they included, that behind-the-scenes photo. And the set that they are on looks really... it's quote unquote a practical set. Which is exciting to me. I think about the Leslie's Russian Doll series and how it has an air of like mystery of being a thriller. It's very trippy and kind of like mystical. And it every episode it kept me guessing of what's gonna happen next. So I'm really excited to see her bring that to Star Wars. And amidst all that, there is some really dark comedy, which I think could be really fun and fresh for Star Wars as well. So I just, the more that I hear about it, the more excited I get. And I appreciate that they are starting to trickle out a little bit of information, but it's almost like, okay, I've had enough. Let's wait a little bit longer until they start filming. Because I know that some other people are going to start jumping the gun and start trying to share a lot or speculate a lot. And I don't want to go there. I'm just going to savor this announcement and what they've given us so far.
Yeah, it's fun. I love this stuff. It takes me back. You said, Joseph, earlier, talk about like 2014 and Rebels. But just when you start hearing the official announcements and things come together, we're so blessed to have so many shows out. I really, even though sometimes it can be daunting if you're reviewing them or taking them. I get that. But this just, it's just, I got a smile on my face because it's like, a new thing is happening. And this one, we know so little about, right? And new characters and a new era, that's exciting. As much as I love, I'll explore that 19 years between 3 and 4, I'll explore it over and over and over again. I love that Andor's doing it. I want to go sequel eras. But Joseph, you seems like you have some excitement too. We just don't know. And that's part of the fun.
Yeah, no, I think I'm trying to keep myself speculating responsibly, but I think that the thing that is maybe getting me most excited is, you know, I know Kenobi and Boba Fett didn't work for everybody. And I think there's a hunger for the new. And I think that's a part of it. If Kenobi and Boba Fett were on the slate for a long, long, long time, you know, and I was extremely happy to see Kenobi. I got my little things here and there, but I really loved it. And I loved the exploration of what it means to be a Jedi. But I think because there is a little bit of a legacy exhaustion from some people, that seems to be distracting from what is the storytelling about Jedi. And I love Jedi. So I'm kind of excited that this show that doesn't have that distraction of legacy burnout is going to zero in on ideas of the dark side is more than the Sith. That all Jedi are unique and different, and they might have different perspectives and philosophies. That's particularly exciting to me because I think with Andor, I feel like almost every idea I see on screen is beautiful, well-executed, but not new to Star Wars. It's in all sorts of other Star Wars storytelling. It's just that Andor's zeroing in and really celebrating it in a way that hasn't been seen on screen as much. And I'd be really excited if Acolyte could kind of do the same for the Jedi as Andor is doing for the political side of Star Wars, of taking stuff that's there that we talk about, that we highlight, but making it really clear and intriguing for everybody.
Yeah, really agree with that, and getting a chance to explore down to build the building block foundations of what it is to be a Jedi during this time, during a time of relative peace, but also I think you're right. This we've emerged from the Nile. Now we're either guarded, and through that guarded nature, we've also become arrogant. That's a deadly combination. I think Yoda touches on that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think you could pull, you know, that Yoda kind of, these kid Jedi, huh? Am I right? You pull that kind of conversation with Kenobi and Mace out. You could pull a lot of themes out of that and explore new things there. So we'll see. Yes. And also, I want to highlight that. And Jen, get your thoughts, too. I mentioned dark robes and red lightsabers. That could very well be behind this. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's Sith. Doesn't necessarily have to be. And that's kind of intriguing to me as well. I think it would be fun, but also it's, you know, it does put you up against that guy named Sheev and his master. And I do want some storytelling with them. I really do. The Plagueis and Palpatine of it all. I'm not convinced that this is necessarily where it's going to happen. It could be. And I'd be happy to be wrong or a little off base on my prediction. But Jen, Joseph made a great point. Darkseid does not necessarily mean Sith in Star Wars.
No. And I hope that they don't go to the Sith, to be honest, because of that connection, right? And I think that we'll get a chance to explore that maybe in something else. But with this, I like the option of it being something totally new, something totally mystical. I think Andor has done a really good job of, yes, connecting some things to canon, but they've also introduced a lot of planets and species and characters that we do not know at all. And they drop it in so seamlessly that I'm like, oh, I gotta check Wikipedia. No, it's brand new. I think that that's very smart. I kind of like it because then there's no speculation. There's no, you know, going down these wormholes. It's like, oh, you know, we'll learn when the storytellers want us to know. We'll get introduced to this character maybe this season, maybe next season. I don't have to have it tied into a novel or comic books or whatever. Sometimes it's fun, but I think going forward, it is kind of nice just to have brand new, something different.
Yeah, and I'm this is maybe on the more humorous side, but I'm also obsessed with, even during the High Republic era so far, with the storytelling of the Nile, and which I really have grown to appreciate the Nile's place in the story and what they represent, and the lessons you can learn from that horrible organization. But I'm kind of amused thinking that during all of it, there's two Sith just kind of sitting back and going, no, just wait, they'll do the heavy lifting for us. We'll come in when it's right, where it's not right yet. And in this era, it probably would be, from what at least we hear in the timeline, it might be Palpatine, it might be Plagueis or anyone of that nature. But I don't need to see them. I just know to know that they're around the corner going, no, shh, it's not time yet. Let these wannabe Siths do some damage for us. And we'll come in when the time is right. I love that.
Spread doubt and pain and fear and all these great things. Because there's the great story of the rule of two, and they're slowly building this plan, and Palpatine's the one who finally executes the whole big plan. But look, if you're a Sith in hiding, you just want to go around starting awful little fires all over the galaxy, right?
Yeah.
And you don't need to see the Sith, right? I mean, I'd be fine if it was like a legend of this, the acolyte involves some planet where, you know, dark side worship has been growing for the last 200 years because some Sith we never heard of went there and started that little fire.
Yeah.
went about their business. We don't need to see the Sith to see some of their handiwork blossoming.
Yeah, I'd love to, some Sith bots influencing elections, Is it them? Wait, I don't know, but they're sowing discord.
Darth 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, yeah.
Darth many numbers, is at it again. You just don't know, but I'm looking forward to that. And we've said it before, I gotta say it again. I really have just, anytime Leslie Headland talked about Star Wars in interviews, I just got excited where I'm ready to follow her on whichever path she wants to take in the story. And I can't wait for that. And from the cast to the plot to the use of dark shadowy secrets, I'm really on board for this here. Final question for me and any final thoughts on the plot and cast you guys can throw in as well. But this is probably for my brain. I don't think this was a direct reaction. I don't know. But it was really interesting that this email came out this morning. It's not unusual. They did this with Kenobi, but there was just a lot of rumors swirling and a lot of people starting to stalk the sets and share photos. And I just kind of like that Disney Lucasfilm said, let's put out this email right now. We got a BTS photo. Look at that. You got a character in a hoodie, like in a sweatshirt. The Daphne Keen rumors were very strong. And like I said, that was probably going to be one of the stories we were talking about. We like to wait till things are official. But hey, this was so dominant. A lot of trades were picking it up. Is it? I go back to even years ago, Joseph. We discussed the three of us discussed this idea of doing what Marvel does in a big event, and here's exactly what we're working on. And Star Wars has struggled at times, even the movie side. All that. Sometimes they feel behind the news, and I like that this one felt a little bit like, hey, let's try to get ahead of it. But I don't know if I'm off base or wrong on that. You with me in that? Are you in the seat next to me at the theater?
I agree. I absolutely agree. Like, look, if we could have the big events, that those are great. Some of the Marvel ones back in the day, the reveal of Civil War is sort of unbeaten for me of hype, of well-controlled hype. And I would love that. But my second choice is this. Great. Some of these things were swirling is casting rumors. So great to just get out ahead of it. Maybe Carrie-Anne Moss was a rumor. I don't know, because I'm only paying so much attention to rumors because I just so prefer being able to actually be excited about it without a million caveats and asterisks. This is announced.
Yeah.
This is official. And I think that's one thing for me about the kind of rumors that are swirling. There's such a big difference between a casting rumor and a set leak. You know, a set leak is not something that I'm super supportive of. The cast leaks, I think from my little bit of knowledge in the business, is often pressure from reps, right? If Daphne Keen's agent or manager wants to close another deal for Daphne Keen, the fact that she is confirmed in Star Wars will help them close that deal. Right. There's a motivation inside the business that's all internal, which is why I kind of trust it when the trades have a little bit of a casting thing versus... Yeah. Someone has a photo they shouldn't from a disturbing angle. That's a different kind of leak to me. Definitely in that seat with you, Ken.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. Yeah, I think it was a current Mando cast member that 1 year ago said to me and some friends on a podcast, if a rep has to deny it, it's probably true. And so a lot of that sometimes happens. Jen, your thoughts on this? Are you in the theater with us waiting for this official announcement?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad. I think it's a really smart move to not let the leakers drive the narrative, because what happens is I was doing research for the Daphne rumor and I came across a bunch of leaks that were definitely true. But at the same time, I'm like, well, wait, oh no, this is terrible. Like, people are going to spiral out and start thinking, you know, oh, is there trouble in this and that? Yeah. Let's just squash all that. And I think that we're entering a new phase where Lucasfilm is going to start to get out and confirm things faster than they did in the past. I do think so, just because otherwise you let these people, these leakers, who they monetize that and they drive clicks to their website. And I, it's kind of troublesome that they're the ones that are kind of, you know, driving the narrative, and that should not be the case. And then it kind of spoils it for everyone else. It's like, well, wait, yeah. Are they filming? StarWars.com hasn't confirmed that. So yeah. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah. And there's always some passionate opinions about scoops and leakers and what they do. And some of them are putting bread on the table. And I get it. I get mm-hmm. it. I just think there's a difference. Even this, the Daphne Keene story was tied to, you know, Jeff Snyder, who I do know. And I've said before, I've seen him work. That's an actual trade journalist, you know, mm-hmm. working the calls in a good way, I would think. Jeff's himself a controversial character at times, I'll say, but I've been around him a lot. And I've seen it work, and it's different than I got a job in a parking structure. I'm taking a picture of a set, or the guy I knew in the, you know, the assistant AE, assistant editor, he sent me a shot. Like, you know, exactly. It's a different game. It's a different feel. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's sometimes treated equally, I think, has ramifications even outside of Star Wars. So mm-hmm. I think that's where my soapbox takes me. Yes. That's just me. That's just me. The good thing is we got a great show. We're excited about the cast. We're excited about the plot. I want to make sure you all have any final thoughts before we take a break, Joseph.
No, I actually did share them all, so I'm ready to move on.
Jen.
No, I shared mine all as well. We're going to wait and see. Wait and see. Right.
My final thought is that BTS photo, it made it very clear to me that they're in Canto Bight. So that's my prediction.
Oh my God.
It's in Canto Bight. No, I don't know. Though I wouldn't mind that. All right, before we take a quick break, on the other side, we got some Andor news and discussion. I want to remind you, we have a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, I'll leave this one up to you. It's dealer's choice, though I think it might be what we always have been saying here now.
I think it is and always has been and always shall be Padawan by Kirsten White. I joke. We try to recommend the newest book that's coming out, and Ken and I try to read these books and review most of them, and we have just really fallen behind. We have every intention. This book came out shortly after the Kenobi series wrapped up, you know, for Kenobi season. Which now seems like 8,000 years ago, but we are excited to read. We hope you've all downloaded it from Audible and listened to it 800 times. Anyway, it's Padawan by Kirsten White.
Padawan by Kirsten White. And I just want to give Kirsten White the most respect we can. As a Star Wars creator, she's put a good book out there that people are enjoying. I brought it with me on my trip, and it got as far as out of my backpack. Then I was like, I just need to sleep in today. I can't read this morning. So there we go. Download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. And anyone out there saying, well, Ken, why don't you get an audiobook and listen to it on your drive up there? My car is 20 years old. If it's not a CD, I can't hear it. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, Andy Serkis is talking about Kino Loy and a lot more. Stick around. This is Force Center.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to 4Center. We are talking news, breaking news from a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And this is breaking news, people. Breaking news. Andy Serkis's Andor character, Keanu Loy, is not Snoke. No related to Snoke. Now I'm being a little bit, maybe I'm being a little jerky. I'm not surprised by this. If you're out there and you thought it might have been Snoke, good for you. Maybe you wanted to be Snoke. That's maybe a different conversation. But it's not. It's not. This might be a shock to some fans, but Keanu Loy is not related to Snoke. This is, again, heartbreaking news for people that only like Star Wars for theories and predictions. But all this, according to Andy Serkis, while speaking on a show, Jake's Takes, I've seen around before. I don't know Jake. I'm assuming it's Jake hosting Jake's Takes. But what do we think so Serkis was asked directly. He was very clear. It is not Snoke, and he had some concern. This has already kind of come out in some interviews. Like, I'm happy to do this, but will this cause any problems? But he kind of, along with the producers, came to the conclusion, well, it's been a bit, and I think people will get it. And I think generally they did. But I want to start there, have a little bit of discussion about that. What do we think of the use of Andy Serkis in a different role? And also James, as we said before, James McArdle, as Tim Carlo, was an X-Wing pilot from Force Awakens. Did we get hung up at all, Serkis being there, Jen?
No, I thought it was fantastic. It was great to see him in the flesh. And, that was the thing is that, like, for so many years now, people were actually saying there should almost be a separate category for CGI mocap characters because he was giving some Oscar-winning worthy performances. But he was never really quite recognized as, like, an actor, even though he is an actor. Mm-hmm. And now here we are seeing him. He's fantastic in this role. Although I will say, the first minute when I heard him on screen, I did hear Snoke's voice just for a moment, right? But then it moved so fast and immediately, like, he is a completely different character. And so I forgot about it. But I'm so glad that he's back and that he's probably going to die.
And to be clear, too, like, I don't think in thinking, oh, could that be Snoke is a bad thing at all. I think you have that. You're going to have the reaction. When it's revealed to be him, and he's kind of a burly dude at times. He does like to, I think, hit the gym a little bit. And you saw those broad shoulders. I was like, is that? Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
OK. What's the reaction to that going to be? And his voice is so distinct that, I can even hear Gollum in it at times. Right. Even though he's so good at that. I didn't get hung up. And it was fun. It was fun to explore that. And fun to see him just kind of get some FaceTime. Indeed, actually, I just watched Two Towers this weekend on the big screen at that film event I was on, and I couldn't help but think of Keanu Loy every time Gollum came on. Joseph, I imagine you didn't get hung up either, but what was your reaction to seeing him there?
It's so funny you mentioned it. I get more hung up on his just amazing performance as Gollum and Smeagol, right? That I,
yes.
That I am almost more tempted to have him say, they're never more than 12, precious. I expect that more than the Snoke thing. No, honestly, I was really invested in the episode, and Andy Serkis is such a great actor. I just didn't think about the Snoke thing, like, at all. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, the only little bump was, like, I can't remember if this was rumored or not. Speaking of trying to keep up with the rumors of, like, because I was like, wow, Andy Serkis. It's like, did everybody else know this? Anyway, who cares? Let's pay attention to the show. So that was my only real bump. I think for me, Andy Serkis is obviously, he is so well known for all of his amazing, groundbreaking motion capture performances, and I've made lots of Andy Serkis jokes, and not making fun of him, but like, it's kind of just a go-to joke of like, hey, look at that amazing cloud, perhaps it's being played by Andy Serkis in a mocap suit, you know. And obviously he has performances as himself, Claw in the MCU, where he's great. I think that was I was just thrilled to see nary a single tracking ball in sight, right? To just see the man, because he's a phenomenal actor. And there's something powerful about somebody who has created all of these really fantastic otherworldly roles with CGI and motion capture to just be themselves in a Star Wars show that is a little bit more grounded. It just made a lot of sense. And then this Snoke thing occurred to me like afterward, but I just didn't even think about it. And then I was like, that whole first episode, and then the second especially, was just like, how many seconds until a horrific industrial accident? So the only thing I really thought about is like, is he going to get a scar across his head? And is that going to make people, whenever there's a horrible industrial accident, because there's going to be one, is that going to be the deal with him? So I'm thrilled he's back. I don't have any problem with Star Wars actors returning if it's not an immediately recognizable thing, right? If Harrison Ford showed up as an Imperial officer, I'd be like, yes, this is distracting. But with actors like James McArdle, who like you'd have to with all of the in Force Awakens, with all of the Resistance pilot gear on, you have to do a little bit of work to make that connection. And as long as you have to do a little bit of work to make the connection, I say bring them back.
Right. And it's funny when I saw that I did the whole like, oh yeah, because it was not immediately apparent there. And as far as Serkis there too as well, great. I keep making jokes about it, but I actually like Peter Jackson's King Kong. It was one of those movies that was on HBO like ad nauseum, and I just watched it during every Sunday morning. Oh, King Kong's on again. I watched it maybe 30 times, so I just ended up liking the movie, if flaws or not. And Serkis is the ship chef. And it must have been 10 viewings before I realized it was him, which is more about me just not realizing, you know, he didn't just show up and be Gollum one day and had no other experience or credits. it just blew my mind. Like, wow. Oh, God. OK. Yeah. And acting, you know, the power of it. So it was, I think I had that reaction again, seeing him work the first episode and now the second. And we got episode 10 where Keanu Reeves will be in it as well. So all great there. We didn't think it was Snoke or Snoke related, at least not too long there. But what if it was? Would that just fit at all? I know Andor's not doing this, but I did spend a lot of time this weekend after I saw this interview of maybe it's Keanu Snoke. I don't know. Like, would you have wanted to explore that at all, Jen?
No. Here? Oh my gosh. You know, the thought didn't even cross my mind. And then somebody commented on my video suggesting the theory. And at first I thought they were joking. And then I realized, oh my gosh, no, this is kind of a thing that's being picked up is this idea that he's related to Snoke, which again, I didn't think about. I think it would take away from how grounded Andor is, how real it is. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, they could make it work, but I think it would be a little off with the tone that they've already established with this series.
I could see Joseph Gilroy says, we're going to cast Serkis. And someone says, oh, is he going to play like Snoke? Who's Snoke?
Right,
might be what's happening. So anyways.
Not going to put up with that. Yeah, Tony Gilroy.
Joseph, I know the answer probably is, hey, it doesn't necessarily fit with what Andor's trying to do, but I don't know. I just kept thinking about it all weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's always the question of, well, sure, that could happen, and it could make sense if the creators cared about that and planned it from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if it was baked into Andor, if we're going to do this grounded, gritty, you're really spending time with the workaday people who form the Empire and the Rebellion, you're going to see socks. This is grounded and real. And also we want to, you know, attach the more fantastical elements and show how the idea of Snoke can start from a really grounded place. If that was baked in from the beginning, I'd be like, great. But I think, I don't know. For me, I want to make sure that I'm always engaging with the story and with the art as well as what we know behind the scenes. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we know behind the scenes from interviews that is not a priority agenda of Tony Gilroy to be like, how can I connect to the sequel trilogy? That's not a thing he cares about, which we know from interviews. But then this question, Ken, made me just think about like, okay, well, put that aside. Imagine you've never heard a single interview. You don't know who Tony Gilroy is.
Yeah.
Art is still about communication. Art still sends out a vibe, you know, and you try to get on the wavelength of it. And I feel like what's in the art, the story of Andor is how do people become committed to a cause, you know, not how do they become super tall evil clones with great robes? You know, it's just, it's not the wavelength, the vibe of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And there's still maybe some room for that. A couple questions left. I'm going to flip the questions here on our list. Circus did say in this interview that he would like to explore more of Snoke's backstory. And yeah, we know there's some maybe cloning in there and everything, but we don't, beyond that, I don't know. Or even if, from my point of view, even if it is a Snoke clone made by Palpatine, how does that clone go out and function in the real galaxy and meet Ben Solo? How does that work? Circus called it fertile ground for storytelling. He even wants George Lucas to do it. This is kind of part of the question. What do we think about more Snoke storytelling and, you know, learning about who's behind the golden robe? And we'll toss in the Lucas thing, but I'm going to guess George is not going to come and direct a Snoke story. But Jen, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel like it would be treading backwards. You know, we're talking about the High Republic and we're talking about Acolyte. We're moving away from the legacy characters, from Palpatine, and we would be going right back into it with his character. So I don't think that would be. But could we introduce him in a Star Wars animated series, like in a short? Mm-hmm. You know, why not? All right, I could see that. That could be interesting. But in live action, no.
Yeah. It would definitely have to be part of a larger story. We keep talking about Luke and Ben animated because I don't think you're going to get Kylo Ren himself, Adam Driver, to come back and the younger version of the character. So I think it has to be animated. And then Circus will be like, wow, then you just got me doing the voice again. Come on. But I think there's something that excites me, Joseph, about you talk about tip of the iceberg storytelling. Of the sort of seduction of Ben Solo to the dark side and Snoke being that vessel. And the fact that Leia's like, we know it was Snoke. Remember when we hung out with him at the bar, Han? And like I there's something to it. And I kind of like this idea. Whatever it might be in Circus's mind.
Yeah, no, I think I go to a couple different places. One is just that wanting people to very clearly understand the context of this interview. I watched bits and pieces of it. It's a, you know, relatively short Zoom interview, Jake of Jake's Takes, which is not a sequel to Blue's Clues, which I thought it was for a moment. But Jake of Jake's Takes is clearly somebody who is asking real questions, but also like asking fun questions and trying to get interesting, weird things out of people. Jake himself even kind of jokes about how Circus's answers are going to become clickbait if they're not careful. So I'm just getting increasingly frustrated with headlines that say like actor finally breaks their silence or actor desperately wants and like actor politely answered a question framed by someone else. Actor has never thought about this before this day and never will again.
You know, never
Andy Serkis is not doodling in a notebook. He's about Snoke. He's not sending desperate daily emails to Kathleen Kennedy. So I just, that particular angle of clickbait of putting emotions onto actors when they're politely answering questions is one that's starting to clearly get under my skin. So I want to be real clear. Jake asked him, hey, if you ever got a chance to talk to George Lucas, what would you ask him about? And Andy Serkis gamely kind of thinks and reaches for the answer and goes, you know, hey, I'd ask him about that Snoke guy. Maybe I talked to him about that. That's an interesting story. It's totally out of thin air as a polite answer to a fun question.
And then George would say, "Who's Snoke?" Which would more articles.
Yeah.
Would spring so, I agree with you because it happens. It happens a ton, and it happens. You get those little like so and so confirms backstory, and it's a red carpet press interview of someone like I don't know. Keanu Lloyd worked at a Walmart. Like I don't, you know. Like,
yeah, there was an article today of James Gunn breaks his silence on Saving Legends of Tomorrow, which is a show I like, and James Gunn put out a nice tweet saying we're still figuring out what we're doing. Thanks for all the good thoughts. Like mm-hmm. it's nothing. He didn't break his silence anyway. Yeah. Let's get back to Snoke. I would love more Snoke storytelling. I totally agree with you that it is a tip of the iceberg storytelling, the little bit of seeds of what we get of he's clearly known to the galaxy. He the way Leia and Han talk about him wasn't also just like some secret thing. The First Order is known to the galaxy. They declared their presence, right? And he's the leader. So how did he present himself to the galaxy? There are these hints and possibilities that he had a physical confrontation with Luke, you know, mm-hmm. That Luke possibly gave him some of those scars. Luke's great line in The Last Jedi of like that Snoke had already turned his heart. We get little peeks of that in Rise of Kylo Ren 4-issue comic book, which is just one of the most sort of rich canon comic books. It doesn't take long to read and really frames a lot of the sequel trilogy stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think Snoke has a lot of interesting storytelling to be had. But then also the clone thing is great. It's very intriguing because there's a ton that isn't answered. And I think that there is room for interesting questions about autonomy and self-awareness. Is Snoke like a literal meat puppet? And is that Palpatine choosing and saying every word from afar? Was Snoke aware that he was a clone and aware that he was serving Palpatine? Was he planning on ways to betray Palpatine?
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, you could have a really interesting story where Snoke is a clone who is meant to not know that his strings are being pulled, but somehow deep down he knows and getting in his head and, you know, him wondering like, am I thinking that or is there someone else thinking that? Like there's room for really interesting storytelling to examine this different kind of puppet of Palpatine than the way Dooku or Anakin was a puppet of Palpatine.
That's heavy stuff. And then you can add in, we haven't even dealt with like the origins of the First Order and Snoke emerging as a leader from other people.
Throw that in there.
Our favorite Ray Sloan. I think there is there. So, maybe Circus will, he's a director himself, right? A lot of second unit stuff and all the Lord of the Rings stuff too. So maybe he'll pull out a notepad, a yellow notepad. And start writing there. There you go. Jad, I want to make sure what Snoke comic do you want? You got the animated stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the animated stuff. Although Joseph, you won me over with that. I'm intrigued. Kind of a psychological take, you know, he's hearing voices. It reminds me of Moon Knight a little bit, although I only watched the first episode. So,
there's some connections.
It could also be a little bit of Gollum and Two Towers talking to himself, Smeagol and Gollum having conversations. So there you go. It all comes back to that. Oh. Final thing here. This is kind of fun. Circus was asked by Jake of Jake's Takes, not the two Jakes or Jake of the Fat Man, if you grew up watching that show back in the day. Jake asked Circus, what other performers would he want to see come back to Star Wars in different roles? I thought that was an interesting question. Yeah. Harrison Ford as an Imperial officer is off the table. Joseph has already submitted that as his number one choice. Now, do we have any choices? Have you thought about that, Jen?
It's really hard to think about anyone because they're all so recognizable. Alden Ehrenreich, love Emilia Clarke. They can't come back, right? And then even the minor characters, like we know so much about them. I don't know if she's necessarily minor, but like Lorma Dacey, right? Yeah. Like they have recognizable character faces. I think the reason why Tim Carlo works so well is because, like you said, he was in the gear, right? Mm-hmm, it's such a quick thing. But someone else who was in a mocap suit and CGI, Ahmed Best. And I know that he's already obviously, you know, made some appearances and stuff, but like, let's give him a larger arc in a movie or a series. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be fun. The time is now. So why not?
Why not indeed? Yeah. Yeah. And even his character from the game show, Kelly Ann Beck I think it works, but even if you want to go beyond that, you why not just cast him as something else? I think that's a great answer. Joseph, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I had a couple thoughts because I totally agree with Jennifer. Like, there's some of those phenomenal actors like Lorma Dacey, who would be like, oh, it'd be great. Maybe we just get a Lorma show. That's fine. But some of the kind of deep cut actors, people know him now from The Crown, but I was introduced to him as the lead of The Wire. Dominic West has that brief scene in Phantom Menace as a Naboo guard. Guard watching over the queen in her retinue. Dominic West, man, I love him. Another actor that maybe you've heard of, Daniel Craig, with his famous stormtrooper role. I don't think we can be like, no, he's that stormtrooper, nothing else. And my final one that is like, well, we did just see her face. Dr. Harder Colonia, who has the quick joke line with Chewbacca. Actor Harriet Walter. Been in a lot of things, in particular, getting a lot of, recognition for playing the mother figure in Succession. So good. And this is one of my things that I learned in my Christopher Lee Dooku fever. She's Christopher Lee's niece.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's some Star Wars heritage there. So make Harriet Walter the star of a Star Wars show.
That's great. You both win this round of pop culture debating here. We're not having a competition. Okay. I did go a lot to pilots because you're right, their faces. So I'm naturally going to go to Hermione Corfield as Tally Lancher. It's one of my favorites. But get her out of the cockpit, put her in like a Twi'lek outfit, and send her to Canto Bight or some high society spy or something like that. I'd be really on board with that. She's a great performer as well. And this one, I wouldn't have thought. Michael Carter, right? Who is Boba Fett? Excuse me, not Boba, Bib Fortuna. Ken, Ken, talk today. Talk well, better, Ken. He is Bib Fortuna. He just appeared in House of the Dragon as King Jaehaerys I, and he's just there. He doesn't say much. He's in what essentially is the prologue to the series. But got me thinking of like, oh, look at that. Put him back in Star Wars as some old wise Jedi in the High Republic era or something like that. And just have that kind of fun of going back to the original trilogy. Or we could just put Ian McDiarmid in any role and see if it works. see if it works. Put enough makeup on or change enough to where you don't recognize that he is the Emperor. As I said before, one of my earlier moments as a child, as a young adult, was seeing him as the butler in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and freaking out that he was not just the Emperor all the time. A lot of fun. Well, fun story. We're just doing some fun look at Snoke and Andor, what it's doing. So we hope you all enjoyed that. And maybe you have your thoughts. Tweet out your ideas of actors you want coming back. That'd be a lot of fun. Or post it on Mastodon if you can find me. I think I finally found Joseph, but we'll have that discussion at the end of the show. Before we get out of here with the news, we like to take a look back in Star Wars history. This week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars Past. And actually, this one, there's some interesting things this week, but I wanted to talk about this one that's on the day of our recording, November 7th, 2013. The release date for Star Wars Episode 7 was announced, and hold on, could you believe it? It was set for December 18th, 2015, to be exact. It seems so normal now, but the discourse of the day was a flurry of passionate reactions to Star Wars being moved from its May blockbuster spot, a spot of new hope helped establish for the movie industry, not just the franchise, to the cold dead of winter. No big event film released in December had done much at the box office, and this move was looked at with many a wary eye. So what was our reaction to the news then? Were you legitimately worried about the film and whether or not it would perform well? And what do we feel about Star Wars movies in December now, Jen?
I remember this. And I remember my daughter was about 4 months old at the time, my first kid. I was so overwhelmed. And when I saw that discourse online, I went, you know what? I don't know about, I love Star Wars, but I'm just not going to be able to engage with it anymore. And I really did. I just was like, I stopped checking Twitter. I was so overwhelmed and so sleep deprived. And then the teaser trailer came out on, I think it was like November 28th. And when I saw that, and I saw that first shot with Finn and that boom, right? The music. Yeah. I was back in, and I said, all right, Star Wars, we're back. And I disregarded all the discourse that I had seen. And that obviously kind of went away with that trailer. But yeah, I remember, I just was like, I can't, who cares? We're getting a new Star Wars film, guys. Like, come on, let's be happy. I don't care if it's in July or December. It doesn't matter. This is something to be celebrated. And so that kind of frustrated me, that discourse.
Yeah. I'm I understand that. Unfortunately, I think I was probably part of the discourse. I'll let you close with your takes, Joseph. But this was early on Schmoes, about a year into producing Schmoes No Movie Show. And that's what we did every week. We took the movie news. I'd say some silly, stupid jokes about it. And then the cast of the show would debate it. And, that was the style at the time. Still is in a lot of spots. And yeah, there was a ton of discussion and understandable confusion/worry. I think the Hunger Games, one of the Hunger Games films, is the only one to do any kind of damage. And it was barely 90 million, if I remember my stats. And so, yeah, I got it. But I think those conversations failed to recognize the changing industry, the potential changes. And also, yeah, of all the film franchises out there, Star Wars could be the one. And no disrespect to MCU, it's doing great things. But Star Wars, December. And now you look at it, it almost felt wrong. Solo, you can talk about the Last Jedi to Solo, the release date. I'm not even talking about that part of the conversation, but it felt weird. Star Wars is in May now? Like, it just took over my brain so fast because Star Wars changed the game. And at the end of the day, I like Star Wars in December. Joseph, were you, we hadn't met yet, but a year prior to you and I meeting. So were you debating this with your friends?
No, not at all. I think for me, and I looked this up to make sure I hadn't imagined it, this November 2013 date was the news of the official release date, but also the news that it was being pushed back from summer 2015.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's, the quote from Alan Horn: "We're very excited to share the official 2015 release date for Star Wars Episode 7, where it will not only anchor the popular holiday film going season, but also ensure extraordinary filmmaking team has the time needed to deliver a sensational picture."
Right.
So it wasn't just the release date. It was the great. It's not in the summer. And I think my reaction was like, okay, cool. I love this because I want to see this as soon as possible, but I don't want them to rush it. And thank goodness they're not just going, we'll wait all the way until the following summer. So I only absorbed it from the context of being pushed from the summer to December. It's like, cool, great, makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then, you had the YouTube show, Jedi Alliance, Ken, that you did, that you and I met. And I think sometimes we kind of mention it offhand, but I think we've picked up lots of new listeners who maybe sometimes, what are they talking about? Were they in a biker gang? Why do they keep talking about being on Jedi Alliance together? So Jedi Alliance was a YouTube show under, an umbrella of pop culture shows. Ken eventually left hosting, and I took over co-hosting with a wonderful fellow named Mark Donica. And Mark and I were doing the show in the real lead up to Force Awakens. And that was a huge amount of the conversation that I hadn't really been exposed to, like box office hounds before.
Mm. Yeah.
I was shocked to see the number of comments we got on YouTube of like, this movie is going to tank. Star Wars needs to make this amount of money. And even Titanic, even Lord of the Rings has never made that amount of money. And like, a lot of people were like, quote me on it, 70 million domestic opening weekend. Absolutely going to happen. That's the ceiling for December. And I remember being like, I'm new to the, like, I can talk about the story, the characters, the themes all day. And I will, you know, defend myself. Like, I'm not a box office expert. And it's like, I think these people are super wrong. And, you know, domestic opening weekend shatters record. It's 247 million.
A
redefinition of the Hollywood calendar from this film. And, you know, in retrospect, it makes perfect sense, because I think summer used to be a little bit more of like, the theory is these movies are a little bit more for younger people. So, you know, hey, they're getting out of school. They can keep going all summer and it'll give the movie legs. Right. And I think the reality is that our lives have changed. The audience for Star Wars has changed, and December just gives it different legs, right? A hardcore fans can see it opening weekend. And then how many of us saw it two times ourselves and then two times with family members over the weekends between Christmas and New Year's and all that. So I think it ultimately made a ton of sense and became a new tradition very quickly.
Yeah, which I love that's another thing on the Star Wars resume. And you're so right. We could go probably on and on about this. But yeah, there was that weird time period. And I think once this movie came out and did what it did, I looked at those movie news discussions differently. I mean, honestly, like this particular news story, it was like, wow, we spent all that time debating it, wondering. And again, that's an industry that gets you clicks and help give me a career in some ways. Not biting the hand that fed me, but I just remember thinking, well, that was just a silly waste of time. Yeah. The industry changed. This is Star Wars. And whether, you know, yeah. Anyways, you talked up top. You said, wow, watching Rebels is back to 2014. I am now back in 2014 going, wow. We just spent a lot of time not talking about the art and talking about the business around it, which is fun and fun for other people. It's never been as fun for me. And this was one of those stories that kind of was like, well, I guess we just spent a lot of time, 2 years, talking about something we didn't need to worry about. So,
yeah.
And I just realized I was actually talking about this. I was wrong. So I was thinking 2015. I'm still sleep deprived. It was 2013. So I actually was posting kind of not salacious, but like, you know, ooh, is there trouble in episode 7? Like I was doing those kinds of videos. So I'm to blame. I'm to blame. And I think I realized like that's just not my true nature. But I was trying to like fit in with what was kind of like in vogue at the time, which still quite frankly is. And I remember that by the time I did it, 2015, did come around and I did have my daughter and that's all started who knows what discourse was going on at that point something as there always is and I just was like I can't do this and then the November 28th thing oh my gosh I was 20 yeah. Right. Oh my dates.
Yeah, no, well, you know, so Jen, I thought you might have been wrong in saying that because I was like, well, wait a minute. When I brought Jen to Jedi Alliance, she was pregnant. I thought that was her first child. Yes. But then I was like, I would think Jen would know more than me. So I'm going to.
You were right. Oh,
hey, it all goes in one. And yeah, you did the videos too, but I did them too. And it's not that it wasn't, we were just chasing trends. It was the style of the time and was at times fun. I felt it was really fun to kind of sportify this stuff. But I think looking back, the lesson that a lot of us maybe should learn is that, man, it really disengaged a lot of us from the art and what was on the screen. Until I met this guy from Minnesota who was like, hey, I'd love to talk themes and what's up on the screen. That started to change. That's why I give Joseph so much credit publicly and hopefully privately. I had emerged from the what's the news story of the week? How can we break it apart? How can we look at the numbers? It's like a NFL pregame show. And some people still love that. But I was one of the ones like you, Jen, like this. I don't feel this is me. Mm-hmm. And I got to find something else. So hopefully that led to something else.
Yeah, I think absolutely. It did. And to your credit, Ken, exposing me to a little bit of that side of the world, I think broadened my perspective and my horizon of like, I never want to ignore the art and what's up on screen and the big ideas and the themes. But I am a little bit more engaged with the box office predictions, right? Because I think not to gamify it, but because it's this really interesting thing of looking at what has come and trying before and trying to kind of figure out what might happen based on what has come before. Which, you know, is a valid, needed thing for, you know, executives to make decisions. But I think what was really interesting about Force Awakens is all of these arguments about it can only make 70 million, maybe 90 million, maybe it will crack 100, were based on what has come before and not the idea of what could be, what is different, what is new. And that, to me, is one of the enduring secrets and powers of Star Wars. Star Wars is always this thing that goes like, yeah, but what if?
Yeah,
I know this is the way everything is supposed to be, but what if we looked at it a different way? And I'm interested now in box office from that perspective of when do the numbers of the past help, but things change and something new and fresh breaks through and upends what all the experts know.
Yeah, I love it. And the business stuff is important because it's real. And the conversation around Solo is about that. The streaming stuff, it's all fascinating. But yeah, art first around these spots there. All right, we're done. We did it. We wrapped up. We're going to get Jen on her way, and we're going to wrap up the show by saying you can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod or on Instagram and YouTube as well. We've got a big live Q&A coming up. We'll get the final details for you, but it's the week of Thanksgiving. Before you head off to your holidays, sit down with us to do a live Q&A. Podcasts available on a lot of different spots, including iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn. If I didn't say it already, you can find us on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. Merch available at teampublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You can follow me and all the silly things I do at KedNapsuck or KedNapsuck.com. I was joking. I am a Mastodon. It's not my favorite thing right now, but who knows? Maybe it will be because there was one point when I went, this Twitter thing is dumb in 2011. And there you go. So don't hold on to the past. Look to the future. You can find me in all those spots. Jen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Jennifer Landa and my YouTube channel at Jennifer Landa, where I'm now posting weekly reaction videos to Andor. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had fun, so I'm going to do more. And thanks to some of you who joined me over there are now liking this new format. And I don't know if I'm on Twitter, but I'm not really tweeting that much. I might join you, Ken, on Mastodon if I can figure out what server to pick. I don't understand.
I think I'm on the Nerd Culture one.
Okay.
We'll figure that out. Yeah.
Great.
Wonderful. Joseph, you have been a little bit more successful in navigating Mastodon. That I will say.
I don't know about that. I think it's just a little bit of a challenge. For right now, I am staying on Twitter. I think things are moving fast, and I'm curious to see how they end up. I was like, oh, man, tired of Twitter. And then I had a real successful tweet this weekend with a typo in it. So it was, classic Twitter for me. I am on Mastodon. The whole which server are you on, which instance is really confusing. In theory, it doesn't matter when you have your home screen, but it matters when you try to follow people. It took me to like 8 different screens to be like, sign into this, sign into that. It's like, I just want to follow this one person. I know Ken's in here somewhere, but I can't find him. Yeah. But I am on Mastodon. So, hey, if you can find me, tell me how to find myself. also on Instagram and TikTok. And of course, posting more stuff on my YouTube channel, more short film, more comedy stuff. I'm also posting my not unboxing action figure videos as YouTube shorts. So you can now find those there as well. So check out YouTube. And hey, the day that this very episode is coming out, it's election day in America. So if you haven't yet, I'd say please, please vote. Anybody who says it doesn't matter is trying to take your power away, in my opinion. So use your power. That's my take.
Indeed, indeed. I dropped my ballot in last week before I left, and it felt good. So we want you all to vote here. All right, that is it. We've done it. We've looked at the news. We've looked at Snoke. We've looked into the past. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time here on Foresight.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at byheart.com.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.